Thank you. It is so good to have you join with us again at the same time each week. And again, we're so thankful to be able to come into your homes and to spend this time with you. We again want to thank you for the response that we get from the broadcast. We count it our blessing, and it's always nice to hear from those who will take time to write. And I know it's sometimes the hardest thing to do. Some people will say, you know, I've been listening, and I have for a number of years, but I've never taken time to write. Oh, I've wanted to, but I haven't. Well, thank you that after a number of years you've taken time to write, and we do appreciate that very, very much. Now we want to continue on speaking about what in the world does Martin Luther really believe. And as we've said, he believes just what the Catholic Church believes concerning water baptism. He never came out of the Catholic Church on many of the doctrinal issues. And most of his 96 theses, as we've said previously, has to do with the taking of money by the priest for the forgiveness of sins, for the indulgences and things like that. He was against that, and rightly so. But when it comes now to whether I'm going to heaven or hell, I have a choice. And you will find, and it's an amazing thing to me, how that such a following can follow a man that's been dead for 500 years. That's amazing to me. And when it comes to me going to heaven or hell, and like I stated, I think, in our last message, when I was just 17 years old, I went out drinking with some of my buddies, which we shouldn't have done. We thought we were hot shots, you know, you're 17, you know everything. We were drunk. Car rolls over, head goes through the windshield, and you're laying in the hospital bed there getting glass cut out of your neck, goes right to your jugular vein, and then stops. And when I look back, I just say, thank you, dear Lord, because if I'd have died, those preachers that I'd talked to would have sent me right straight to hell. The only thing they wanted to do is get me baptized or join the Catholic Church. Are you a Catholic, or have you been baptized? And I think I was baptized so many times the frogs knew my Social Security number. And I didn't have one of these preachers tell me the only way to heaven, Max Shouts, is to put your faith in Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross, he was buried, he rose again, and there's nothing you can do, no promises you can make to God or anything else. It's believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And as Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 tells us so plainly, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I was about 23 years old before a preacher came down to visit my wife and I and told me the very simple plan of salvation, and didn't have to run through this obstacle course as we get in Lutheranism, we get in Catholicism, and also some other denominations. But I'm very much interested in Martin Luther because of studying this man. He has been accredited to the Great Reformation and so forth. I wanted to know what this man really believed and what he really taught. So anyway, to make a long story short, we're going to examine here what the Evangelical Lutheran Churches of America, the Missouri Synod, Wisconsin Synod, these three churches believe the same thing when it comes to baptizing babies, when it comes to saying your baptism washes away your sins, and so forth. The Missouri Synod and the Wisconsin Synod don't have anything to do with the Evangelical Lutheran Churches of America. As I talked to one preacher here just some time back, he said, and he denounces them altogether as nothing but a liberal organization, and they have women preachers. Your Missouri Synod and Wisconsin Synod totally denounce that, and in that respect, they are right. There are no women preachers. God never gave the office to a woman. So they don't have anything to do with the ELCA because of that and some other doctrinal issues. But all three do believe that Martin Luther, when he said baptism washes away your sins, that's what their followers teach and what their preachers teach. Now, I want to start right out because I'm going to say again, I have the pamphlet by A.L. Berry. He was president of the Lutheran Church of the Missouri Synod. And basically, as we said previously, all three believe the same thing. We're talking about now going to heaven or hell when you die and what they have to say. In this pamphlet here, it's entitled here, What About Holy Baptism? And I thought that was interesting because when we start out, we find out here, and in the first paragraph in this pamphlet here, it says, now consider that in holy baptism, God actually does give us the gift of eternal life. Now let's learn more about this marvelous blessing, and then we shall proceed in a minute. That's what they say. Now the first thing that attracted my attention was a verse in the Bible that warns against adding to the Word of God. And I wondered, why in the world would they say holy baptism? And that's exactly what Martin Luther says, holy baptism. So I thought, well, this is going to be interesting because as many times as I've read the Bible through, I don't ever remember reading anywhere about holy baptism. So I looked in our concordance, and you can do this. You can buy you a Strong's Concordance that has every word in the Greek and the Hebrew in the Bible there, and we'll give you a definition of it. Now, you can get that. They cost about $12. If we order you one, we can get a little bit cheaper because of being a church. But it runs around $12, $13, something like that. And it's a very good piece of information to look up things, to check on things for yourself in your own home. You don't have to know Hebrew. You don't have to know Greek. It'll give you the Greek word and the Hebrew word, but you look it up in English, and then it'll give you just a very simple explanation of that, tell you how many times it's found in the Bible and so forth. So I went through there and began to count up of all of the times, and it's about 231 times I find the word holy in the New Testament. And I said, well, I'm going to look down through here, and of course I knew it wasn't in there, but I wanted to recheck it and recheck it. And I found in the Bible, I don't find anywhere about a holy baptism. And I thought, you know, this is getting people set up, because when you read this little pamphlet and it says, now consider that in holy baptism, you're getting set up now for the philosophy of a man to tell you that baptism does something more than what God intended for it to do, just to be a testimony. So, holy baptism means there's something more there that they're going to, through their philosophy, they're going to inject into being water baptized. And, of course, they surely do with their philosophy that it takes away your sins. That's a damnable teaching. But anyway, let me continue on. I found out that going through there that nowhere in the Bible does it ever say holy baptism. Then it reminds me of Proverbs chapter 30, verse 6, for the Bible says, add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. So, I'm sorry, Mr. Luther, Martin Luther, you're lying to people when you're calling it a holy baptism, because nowhere in the Bible does it ever say that baptism is a holy baptism. I find out in Matthew 1:20, it talks about the Holy Ghost. There are many places where holy is used, but it's never used in connection with baptism. Stand in the holy place in Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. We have in Matthew 25:31 the holy angels. And then we have in Revelation 22:19 the holy city. And the Holy One of God in Mark 1:24. And then holy is his name in Luke chapter 1, verse 49. And then holy is used with the prophets, the holy prophets in Luke chapter 1, verse 70. The holy covenant, Luke 1:72. The Holy Spirit, Luke chapter 11, verse 13. And we have the Holy One, Acts chapter 3, verse 14. And the Holy Child of Jesus, Acts chapter 4, verse 27. And then we have the Holy Jerusalem. Now, I'm just giving you a few here. And that's in Revelation 21:10. Holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. And then a holy kiss talks about in 1 Thessalonians 5:26. And then holy brethren, 1 Thessalonians 5:27. But you know what? I can't find holy baptism anywhere. Holy priesthood. Every Christian is a priest to the Lord Jesus Christ and will be. That's positionally. And that's found in 1 Peter 2:5. Holy priesthood. That's not talking about the Roman Catholic priesthood. It's talking about every believer in Jesus Christ. Just read the context. Holy commandments, 2 Peter 2:21. And I go through there, and there are many, many more. Like I say, there's just approximately 231 times the word holy is used in the New Testament, and not one time is it ever used as holy baptism. And then I begin to see, why would Luther put holy baptism unless it was to teach people that it has some saving elements that God never gives in the Word of God? And that's exactly why he used it, because nowhere in the Bible, and this is another case of a man that is going to inject his philosophy into the Word of God, add to it, and then get you all set up mentally now, because he says, holy baptism, that you're going to be looking for something supernatural and what it does, and we're going to see that's exactly what Martin Luther had in mind to get your mind prepared as he injects his philosophy as we go on. Now, notice, if you will, We find out here as we go on. I want to read you under the title here, What is Baptism? Now, it has here, and I'm reading to you, and then it has a little number one after the reading of this verse here, or paragraph here. Baptism is not just plain water, but it is the water included in God's command and combined with God's word. Now, boy, that throws out a red flag up. And then we have a little number one under it. Then we got to turn to the back of the pamphlet here, and we find out that number one, we have why we have a number one. And number one says the words in italics are from Luther's Small Catechism. So it's not from the Word of God. This is from Luther's Catechism. Now, we go on down, and I want to look at this because this is very interesting. It says, what's so special about a handful of simple water? Well, nothing until God connects His Word to it. In baptism, that is exactly what God is doing. Well, I don't know anywhere in the Bible that it says that. Here's the philosophy of Martin Luther beginning to come in now to tell you that there's more to just that water, that when the preacher gets up and says the words that are baptized in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, whichever you want to use, now this becomes saving water. Now, you don't find anything in the Bible about that, folks. This is how you inject philosophy with a man's ideologies and get you all set up by we're starting with holy baptism that you never find in the Bible. Now, he combines his life-creating and life-giving word with the waters of holy baptism again. Now, you've got that thrown into your mind again, that this is something holy, holy, holy. Something more than just being baptized as a testimony of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And thereby, we are born again of water and of the Spirit. And then they quote John chapter 3 in verse 5. John chapter 3 in verse 5. Now, that's very interesting, and I'm going to stop right there because we have the injection, first of all, of holy baptism to get your mind injected. There's something really deep about this, and there's something more than just baptism and what it does. And then I want to read again the first line after that, that he says, holy baptism, God actually does give us the gift of eternal life. Well, I don't find that in the Word of God at all. And then, what is baptism? Baptism is not just plain water. I want to stop right there. Oh, yes, it is just plain water. I've baptized hundreds of people. And we baptize scripturally by going under the water to show the death of Christ. And then coming up out of the water, which shows the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, when I'm buried with Christ in the waters and I go under the water, that is showing as a public testimony. That doesn't save me. I'm baptized because of my testimony showing forth symbolically that I believe that Jesus Christ died on that cross and paid for my sins. And he was buried. And under this, by going under the water, there is no sprinkling. If you, some of you listening don't know that, there is no sprinkling whatsoever as baptism. There is none. We find out going under the water shows death. Coming up out of the water shows resurrection. And it is a public testimony. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. There. So, doing that, I'm being brainwashed again by what Martin Luther says. Baptism is not just plain water. Well, I've baptized hundreds of people, and it was just plain water before I baptized them, and it was just plain water after I baptized them, and it didn't have any saving power in it whatsoever. And I found out it's by the blood of Jesus Christ that I'm baptized. This is a damnable teaching of Martin Luther. And this is just a start of how this man twist and add, and it all started with holy baptism, which nowhere is found in the Bible. This is how every false teacher starts out. A little bit of brainwashing, a little bit of implanting into your mind something that God never said, and then working in as we go on, it's not just plain water now. It has some saving power in it. When we use the words, I baptize thee in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I've never baptized anyone who has not previously trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and that's what baptism is. But I want to read on down through the pamphlet here because he's using a verse found in John chapter 3 and verse 5. Now, I want to turn in our Bibles over there to John chapter 3, and then we have a commentary upon what it means to be born again. So let's read here. We come here, and of course you know the story, that there was a man, verse 1, of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be sent. And we know that, or God be with him. So we know that. And but Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, and that just simply means stand up and take notice, like hearken, hearken, the king's here, you know, everybody rise. Well, verily, verily means pay attention here, what I'm about to say is important. I say unto thee, except a man be born again. Now the word again is a very interesting Greek word, because it means born from above. Born from above. And that's what's in the original. Except a man be born from above. The Greek word is anothen, A-N-O-T-H-E-N, and means born from above. He cannot see the kingdom of God. So nothing he can do below can save him. Now, we're going to find out that Martin Luther is going to insert that baptism that you do below down here, that you do yourself, it is a work of the flesh, that he is going to attempt with his philosophy to wipe that clear out of the picture. In other words, baptism is not a work. He goes on and says that. It's not a work, but it is a work, Mr. Luther. Anything you do with the flesh is a work. So I don't believe your philosophy that water is not just plain water. No, I believe it's just plain water, Mr. Luther. Holy baptism? No, sir. I've got to reject your teaching again, because nowhere in the Bible does God ever say it's holy baptism. So I've got to reject your teaching again. This is the same teaching as Catholicism. This is the same teaching as Lutheranism. And neither one, Martin Luther, never came out of that whatsoever. But we're going to spend a little time on John 3:5 here. And let's go on down. Except a man be born, and I would write this down. The Greek word is anothen, A-N-O-T-H-E-N. You can look it up in your Strong's Concordance, your Greek New Testament, if you want to do that. And it means, except a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Very simply, God's saying, nothing you can do down here. Nothing you can do with the flesh. Now, you can believe the record I give of my son. Well, there's nothing you can do out of the flesh at all. Nothing. So, we find out we got to be born from above. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, Nicodemus in verse 4 didn't understand that. And he said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And I would say Nicodemus, you're pretty confused. And he was. But Jesus answered, and he said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now, we have several things that people come up with here in Lutheranism and Catholicism. Wherever they see water, they say it's water baptism. And that is felonious. I don't see anything about baptism in here whatsoever. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So entering the kingdom of God must be the same thing and is the same thing as everlasting life. Because only in heaven do we have everlasting life. I'm talking about living with God and there living with Christ. So I got to be born of the water and of the Spirit. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, when we go on down into John chapter 3 here, we're going to find out that the end result of entering the kingdom of God or having everlasting life, same thing, then we're going to find out that it is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's going to die, buried, rose again, believing on him. So being born of the water has to be something other than baptism, because he just said, you're born from above. Now, we find out here that if we go on down to verse 13, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, and that's Christ, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now, the Lord Jesus, no man's ascended to heaven. Christ came down from above to pay for our sins, so that when we believe in him, we're born from above because of what he did. He left the glories of God. He took on human flesh by the virgin birth. He didn't have an old nature. And he was the Son of God, sinless Son of God. And he came from heaven. So I've got to be born from above. I've got to believe that Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven, came to this earth, and to die on this cross, and to take on human flesh, yet without sin, and to pay for my sin, and then was buried and rose again the third day, showing that God accepted his payment for sin. Every sin was paid for, past, present, and future. Therefore, I'm born from above, because I believe Christ came from above, and he came to this earth, and he was above on that cross, and he died for me, and he paid for my sins. But now Luther says, and so does the Roman Catholic organization, that this is water baptism. But the interesting thing is, I don't see baptism here whatsoever. Now, we have a commentary in one verse that explains this verse. And then we're going to come back here and to show you that everywhere it is believing on Christ that gives you the same result as being born from above and born of the water and of the Spirit. The water is nothing more than referring to the cleansing of the Word of God. And it is referred to there. Now, but let's go first here to 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse 23. 1 Peter in chapter 1 in verse 23. And we have born again. All right? In 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse 23, it tells us here, being born again. And then it goes on. What does it mean? What tells us what it isn't? Not of corruptible seed. What is corruptible seed? Corruptible seed here is referring to who he's talking to, that is, any and every human being that is born with the old Adamic nature is born of corruptible seed. We are all born a sinner. We don't become a sinner when we sin. We sin because we're born a sinner. But of incorruptible. So he tells us, you're not born by anything that you do. You've got to be born again, but not of corruptible seed. Nothing you can do. Your water baptism, your confirmation, your good works, all of those things that men and women and boys and girls are taught and try to do are fruitless because they will never merit you eternal life. Then he goes on to say, but, let me tell you what it does mean. But of the incorruptible by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. The Word of God bears record of the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who took on human flesh, God incarnated, and came to this earth to die upon the cross. Romans 10:17 tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, we're born by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. What does the Word of God say about having eternal life? Well, let's go back to John chapter 3, and let's read on. Because we have the same Lord Jesus Christ talking to Nicodemus, says you must be born of the water, born of the Spirit. Now, being born again, not of corruptible seed. Nothing you and I can do as a sinner can merit eternal life. You say, nothing. And he tells you, not of corruptible seed, but the incorruptible, the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. So he said, what God says about having eternal life is the only way that you're going to have eternal life. So let's look here. If being born of the water and being born of the Spirit, we find out that the water is nothing more than reference to the Word of God, because you're born again, not of corruptible seed, but by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So the water here is just using figure of speech representing the Word of God. And here we have the Son of God talking to Nicodemus right here. Now, we find out if we come over here to verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, this is still Christ speaking. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Eternal life is the same as inheriting the kingdom of God. So I should not perish, another phraseology for hell. I'm not going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. But whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Believeth in him is the same as being born of the water or the Word of God, because the Word of God tells me that if I believe in Christ, I'll never perish, but have eternal life. And the end of being born of the water and of the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will convict me that that's true. Now in verse 16, which we all know, for God loved the world and gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, same as inheriting the kingdom of God. Let me come on down to verse 36, where it tells us here, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. I'm sorry, Mr. Luther, to try to take John chapter 3 and verse 5 and tell me that water is water baptism when the Scripture does not say one thing about water baptism, but 1 Peter 1:23 tells me that the water is referring to the Word of God because we're born again, not of corruptible seed, not of water baptism, sir, not of anything we can do in our flesh, but we're born again of the incorruptible, the Word of God, that liveth and abideth forever, and it is the Word of God that tells us how we have eternal life. And Christ continues right on in chapter 3 and tells us that he loved the world, gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So the Word of God and the water is referring to the cleansing by the Word of God. If you'll believe it, and you'll never perish, but have everlasting life. Well, I see our time slipped away. It just seems like we get started, and it's time to stop. But let me invite you to our church service every Sunday morning from 10 o'clock until 11, and Sunday evening from 6 o'clock until 7 o'clock, and the wonderful youth group every Thursday night from 7 o'clock until 8:30 or 9. We hope you'll take time to write. Our mailing address is the Heritage Radio Bible Class, Post Office Box 573, Walnut Grove, Minnesota, and our zip code is 56180. Thank you for joining with us. It's been a privilege to have you. Keep looking up as we ever pray, even so come, Lord Jesus.